This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Before we get into the episode, I would like to warn everyone that this case does discuss the disappearance and murder of a small child. Although I always endeavour to avoid unnecessary disturbing detail, some people may find the content distressing. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, and welcome back to 1 Minute Remaining. My name is Jack Lawrence, the host and creator of this show. Today is part 3 of the story of DeAndre Lay. Arrested, tried and convicted for the murder of his daughter, Bianca. It's a crime that he's always maintained he's innocent of. In our previous episode, DeAndre told the story of how he was carjacked while he and his daughter were on the way to his former partner's home to collect some more clothes for Bianca. He says a car flags him down to tell him his taillights are out, so he pulls over to check. Once pulled over, he says that the same vehicle pulls up behind him and out jumps a man wearing a balaclava and holding a gun. He was demanding that DeAndre move away from the vehicle, while DeAndre pleads for them to allow him to get his daughter. They do not, and one man jumps in the car and drives off as the other car follows. DeAndre would make his way back to his former partner's home, and when there, they call 911.
Hi, my name is Mary, and my niece was just stolen in a vehicle. Her father is really upset. Somebody must have hijacked him or something, and my niece is in the car.
Okay, how old is she?
She's 2.
Did they use a weapon on him?
Dre, did they use a weapon? She was not really talking to me.
Not long after police are informed about the carjacking and subsequent kidnapping, they would locate the car that DeAndre was driving. But of course, inside the vehicle, there was no sign of baby Bianca. And not long after arriving at baby Bianca's mother's home, they would in fact place DeAndre under arrest for an outstanding warrant. The warrant was in relation to an apparent breach of a private protection order to stay away from his ex-wife. DeAndre says his ex-wife took this order out against him, even though there was never any reports of domestic violence or any form of abuse whatsoever. However, she knew that it would supersede their joint custody arrangement. He'd moved away for a while to Pennsylvania, and he says that during this time, everything between him and his ex-wife was fine. He even had joint custody, although being so far away, he didn't get to see his child very often. However, he says as soon as his ex-wife finds out that, number one, he's on his way back to town, and number two, that he's fathered another child with a woman while in Pennsylvania, she would put this private protection order out against him. DeAndre asks the judge how she's able to take out a protection order against him when he wasn't even in the state, as well as telling the judge that he had evidence that in fact shows he was nowhere near his former partner when she claims he violated this protection order. The judge, according to DeAndre, essentially says that his former wife is a well-educated woman with a good job and standing in the community. She's more likely to believe her than an ex-con who brought some friends to help cover for him.
Right, so they used that warrant to hold me. They questioned me and they held me, and then they sent me to Oakland County based on that warrant. And Oakland County held me until I saw the judge, and then they let me go from Oakland County. And that was like probably on the 5th of December.
DeAndre would soon be released, and the media were waiting for him.
He did not want to talk at all, Joanne, but we certainly had to ask him a number of questions, and even police questioned the credibility of his story. DeAndre, let me ask you a question. What do you think Detroit police suspect you? Well, talk about what happened.
I don't want to talk about what happened.
Why didn't you run after the car?
I did. I don't want to talk about what happened.
Well,
Leave me alone.
Leave
me alone.
Why would you let your daughter go away with carjackers?
Leave me alone.
This is 32-year-old DeAndre Lane, the father of missing 2-year-old Bianca Jones, a man investigators have not ruled out as a suspect in her disappearance. You may remember on Friday, DeAndre Lane claimed he was carjacked at gunpoint and that the carjacker drove away with his little girl in the back seat. Did you let her go away with carjackers?
I'm not letting my daughter go away with anybody. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Then why would you let
leave
her
me alone,
drive
please.
Away with her?
Leave me alone,
Tell
please.
Us what happened then.
I can't talk to you.
Were you scared when they had the gun?
What do you think? Would y'all just stop? Would y'all leave me alone, please?
Why would you think your daughter would be okay with them? And Lane was in custody in Oakland County on an unrelated warrant. He violated a personal protection order to stay away from his ex-wife, we're told. The judge today ordered him to take a class in anger management.
So why were you being told by the judge that you needed to take anger management classes? What was that all about?
Because she felt as though I violated the protection order. She's like, are you violating this protection order? I think you have an attitude, you don't understand boundaries, and so I'm going to have you take this anger management class, because when I addressed the court, I was like, this is unfair. I was like, I have witnesses, I have evidence, and you're not trying to hear any of this. You're just going off of what she said, like her word is law. And she's like, you don't run my courtroom, I do. And you know what I'm saying? I'm defending myself, and she's saying that I don't have any respect for the court, I don't have any respect for the law, I didn't have any respect for the protection order. She feels I have a problem, so this is why she put me on anger management.
He also had some unpaid child support that needed to be sorted. He says that in his financial situation at that time, it was either pay $900 for his anger management classes or pay his missed child support. He says he chooses to pay the child support, which means not attending the anger management classes.
Right, so what happened is, like, soon after I left from court, when I got home, I had a letter from Oakland County saying I owed this $3,500 that child support, and if I didn't get it paid within a certain amount of time, that there would be a warrant issued for my arrest. I took the money that I had, and I paid the child support.
Why were you so far behind with the child support?
Because when I moved to Pennsylvania, I had a job, and I was paying the child support for the job when I had in Pennsylvania. My sister got sick, and they didn't know. They actually didn't know if she was going to make it or not. And my niece called, and she's like, Uncle Dre, we need you down here. You know, saying my mom's in the hospital. She's really sick. They don't know what's going on. We need you down here. So I had to leave a job in Pennsylvania, and I moved back to Detroit. When I moved back to Detroit, I didn't have a job. So I was unable to pay consistently what I didn't have, you know. And I tried to talk to my son's mother, you know what I'm saying, but she wasn't having any kind of conversations with me, wasn't answering my calls or anything like that, so I didn't have any way to contact her and let her know what was going on. And then I found out that there was a PPO. So once I found out there was a PPO, I can't contact you anyway. So it's like, now I can't do anything.
Did you have child support for all of the kids that you had? Were you paying child support for all of them? Or
not all of them. I was saying at the time I paid child support for three. And the other mothers, you know, said we just had an agreement, and then whenever they needed anything, they would come and they got it.
While all this back and forth is going on, in the background, little Bianca is, of course, still missing, and the search for her continues. Although DeAndre's former partner and mother to Bianca, Benica, as well as DeAndre and his former attorney have said that from the very beginning, the police never believed DeAndre's story, and very quickly would shut down garbage pickup in the area, inferring that the police were never looking for a child that was still alive. They were looking for a deceased child. They already had it in their minds that DeAndre had killed his daughter. DeAndre said his family could see where this was going and quickly arranged him an attorney.
Once I was being held by the police on the initial day when things happened and they said that they were holding me, my family thought it was best to get me an attorney. Because, you see, the thing about it is like this. When you're dealing with the police, especially as a black man in the United States, when they say anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, they mean just that. They mean whatever you say, whether you're saying something good or bad, they're going to use it against you. They're going to try to twist and play whatever you say against you. So it's best to have a lawyer present when you talk to the police or somebody there to help defend you and help mediate the situation. Because they will ask you all kind of questions, and they're going to twist and turn whatever you say to try to use it to your disadvantage and their advantage. Innocent, guilty, it doesn't matter to them. Because at the end of the day, only thing they're trying to do is close the case, especially in the black community.
This, of course, comes back to the whole question of why would an innocent person need a lawyer? DeAndre says where he comes from, the distrust in the community with the police is high, and they are brought up to never trust or speak to them without representation.
In the city of Detroit, one thing that you know, you never talk to police without an attorney present, period. If you're a black man in the city of Detroit, don't talk to police without an attorney present, because that's what they will do. They will keep you in a cell for 24 hours, you know what I'm saying, won't let you use the phone, talk to anybody, won't feed you or anything, and then drag you out and berate you for hours on ends with their questions, and you know what I'm saying, just like a person will get so fed up and so tired, they'll just start saying stuff, you know what I'm saying, and they know it's a mental warfare, because their thing is just getting the conviction. They don't care how they get it. And if you don't have anyone to protect your interests, you're going to wind up on the short end of the stick. And my family, knowing the situation, seeing what was going on, seeing how the media was portraying things, even from the onset of the situation, how the media was portraying things, they felt it was best to get me an attorney.
Detroit police, along with state police and FBI, set their sights on this house tonight. DPD won't say what they were looking for or who lived in the home. But a neighbor tells Action News the father of missing Bianca Jones stayed here. Clearly, law enforcement searching for
in prison on weapons and narcotics charges. And Uncle Jerry Weaver says it involved the carjacking and selling drugs. But he thought Lane was turning his life around by enrolling in college classes and spending more time with Bianca. But now he's not so sure.
He probably didn't mean for anything to happen, because that's probably why he was so red and so out of it. Maybe he...
Bianca went missing Friday morning. Her father says she was taken when he was carjacked at gunpoint. And now Lane's story about what happened is being questioned even more by police. Detroit's police chief released this statement today, saying in part, the authenticity and credibility of the original version of events is under intense scrutiny by our investigative team.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So they called the attorney and sent him to check on me. I didn't even know he was coming. And then as soon as he pulled up, they instantly stopped questioning me, stopped talking to me. They was like, oh, his lawyer's here. And they didn't have anything left to say to me. Even though during the whole time I was telling them I didn't want to talk to them. I was like, I don't want to talk to y'all. Like, y'all trying to twist my words up. I'm straight. They were still badgering me.
He says at one point he went himself to the police station to try and speak with the lead detective to find out what was going on. But He's told they can't speak with him due to the fact that this is an ongoing investigation.
You supposedly underwent a polygraph test, didn't you? And
yes,
they say you failed that polygraph test.
Right.
Police say Lane is cooperating in custody, but sources also tell 7 Action News that the dad failed a polygraph test.
And this was so crazy about the polygraph test situation. And I was actually on Nancy Grace.
Yeah, I saw
during
that.
Like right after they did the polygraph test. And this shows you the bias of media in certain instances. Nancy Grace had 3 experts, polygraph experts, on her panel. And I clearly recall, as they were saying, well, the police should have never given him a polygraph test in that situation because the results would always come back inconclusive. Because in that position, in that situation, you're hypersensitive, your emotions are high, you know what I'm saying? Like, the questions that are asked can always be skewed to look one way or another, especially in that kind of situation, because you just went through something traumatic. So it's like, they said, it was like, you should never polygraph a person soon after a situation like that takes place. And she basically just cut everybody off. She was like, oh, yeah, and just cut them all off because they didn't agree with what she was trying to promote and push. They even told my roommate that she failed the polygraph test. And she was like, well, what did I fail the polygraph test? But they wouldn't tell her exactly what she failed or what questions she didn't answer correctly or anything like that, nor did they tell me what questions I didn't answer correctly. They just said I failed. I never saw the polygraph. It never was shown to me like, hey, this is what's going on. I never saw any of that. I'm telling them, I'm like, I'll do whatever. Like, I'm talking to, the fact that I even talked to the police. As a black man in the state of Michigan, growing up in the city of Detroit, the first thing that you get told by your parents, one of the first things that you get told by your parents when you interact with the police, is don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Ask for your parent or ask for a lawyer, period. But in this situation where my child is missing, I'm striving to cooperate with them in every way possible, you know. But this is a prime example of whatever you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be used against you. So this is why we're taught not to say anything. But when my child is missing, it's like I have to say something because I have to give y'all what I got. And everything that I was saying was being twisted on me and turned against me, just like the Miranda rights say. So it's like, I'm damned if I'm do or I'm damned if I don't. Because if I don't take the polygraph test, then it's like, oh, well, you're trying to hide something. I do take the polygraph test. Oh, you failed, so you're trying to hide something. It's a no-win situation.
Did you actually fail the test, or was it inconclusive? Was it failure or inconclusive? Do you actually have the report somewhere where it says what happened?
I was never furnished. I was never furnished with the reports of the polygraph. I was never furnished with that because it's inadmissible in court. Like, they did it just to put it in the media. Like, hey, yeah, you know what I'm saying? The polygraph test came back saying that he lied or whatever the situation was. It's just to put something out there, you know, and I was never furnished with anything explaining to me what questions did I, you know, said failed or what was wrong with the test or what was inconclusive about it. None of that. They just came and said, hey, you failed the test. Because I asked them, I was like, how did I fail? Like, what did I fail? They were like, oh, we're not at liberty to talk to you about that. Just know you failed.
As DeAndre mentions, he would, in fact, with his attorney, end up appearing on Nancy Grace over in the United States. Nancy Grace is a highly outspoken legal commentator and journalist in America. And it wouldn't be just the experts that she would cut off, because she would eventually cut the mics of DeAndre and his attorney. She starts with DeAndre by asking him how he's been treated by police after this incident, but then would begin to berate DeAndre in telling him, it's not all about him, stop making it all about you, this is about your daughter.
How have you been treated since this incident, Mr. Lane?
I mean, at first, I looked at everything. I was just trying to give him as much information as I could. All of a sudden, I heard someone say, oh, he has a criminal record. Next thing you know, I'm thrown into a police car. I'm taken down. I'm interrogated. I'm being pushed around and being put in front of the media as the bad guy. And I'm not. I'm the father that's out here.
Okay, Mr. Lane, at any time tonight, did I bring up your criminal record? You're not under attack, Mr. Lane. Do you understand? This is not about you. This is about her.
That's what I've been saying to everyone. It's not about me. It's about her. And that's why I'm trying to get the message out. Please bring my daughter home. That is my only concern. I don't care about anything else that's going on right now, but my daughter's safe return home to her family.
Mr. Lane, you say, your lawyer says that you have cooperated with police. What have you done to cooperate with police?
I've answered every question they've given me to the fullest extent. I've been just trying to give them everything that I could. I don't know what else they want from me, but I'm giving them everything that they asked for.
And Nancy, let me say this. When Mr. Lang was in custody, he was asked by the police, can we search your house? Mr. Lane consented. He gave them written consent
you know what?
To go into his
Mr.
house.
Mr. Johnson, I really appreciate that, and I give him all the props for having his house searched.
Well, but it's more to it than that, Nancy.
Oh,
what do you want to hear?
But what
the story?
Parent
I mean,
in their right mind?
It
doesn't
he
matter.
Was in
what
their
matters
jail, Nancy.
Is the time surrounding the car jack. That's all
well,
I care
question,
about. I mean,
Nancy,
I don't have a problem with your client, but what I'm saying
police.
Is, okay, cut his mic. This is not about your client, sir. This is about his daughter and the fact that instead of put him up. Instead of discussing her disappearance, you two are whining about how he was treated. No offense, but who cares?
Not that I want to stick up for DeAndre here, but to be fair, Nancy, your first question was this.
How have you been treated since this incident, Mr. Lane?
So obviously you care. Otherwise, why ask the question? Eventually, though, DeAndre's failure previously to attend his anger management course would come back around, and he would yet again be arrested for violating the judge's order and be placed in lockup for 12 days.
She basically was like, okay, you don't want to do the anger management, I'm going to give you these 12 days. And I was just like, what? I'm telling you what's going on. Like, and this is how I knew that there was some coercion, or you know, saying there was some talking back and forth with between Detroit Police Department and Oakland County, because she didn't care about anything. She was not, she like, I'm not trying to hear any of that. You know, so I was like, if you give me the, I actually talked to a couple of places that do the anger management. If you give me the court order, I can go there and I can start the anger management. Like, I wasn't refusing to do it. She's like, I'm not trying to hear that. You're going to do these 12 days. And then on the day that I was supposed to be released, from the 12 days, Detroit Police Department came and picked me up.
It is just as he is about to leave jail on this case that police would come and officially charge him for the murder of his daughter.
I'm like, what the hell are y'all talking about?
Because in your like, mind, they're supposed to be still out there looking for her.
Yeah, she's missing. She's not dead. Like, what are y'all talking about? Why are y'all saying that she's dead? She's not dead, you know? Like, where are y'all getting this at? And they're like, oh, no, we charging you. You going to prison. And I'm like, for what? I didn't do anything. Like, what are y'all talking about? Like, how is you telling me my daughter's dead? Like, nobody, I've talked to my family and everybody. Nobody said that they found her dead or anything. Like, I'm like, why are y'all saying this? They're like, oh, yeah, you going to jail. We got proof and all this. And I say, well, what are y'all talking about? Like, tell me something. And they wouldn't tell me anything. They just took me to Wayne County Jail, and that was that.
Had you been speaking to Bianca's mum while this was all going on as well?
Yes, I was. She was before I went to Oakland County. Her mother was like coming to the house almost like, because I had moved from. It was so much traffic going on at the house that I was staying in that I wanted to move it to my sister's house. You know what I'm saying? Because my sister was like, you know, I just want to make sure you're all right. We don't want you, you know. We don't want anybody trying to do anything. The police are always there. The news are always there. You got cars, like, following me and everything. So I was just like, she was just like, come over here. And I was like, all right. So I went to my sister's house. And Bonica was, like, over there almost every other day, coming to check on me and make sure everything was all right. You know what I'm saying? Because I was in a bad, I was messed up.
Detectives had been quietly building a case against DeAndre in the background. And although baby Bianca had not been found, they finally had the pieces to their puzzle in order to charge him.
Rob, what do you know?
Well, Nancy, we know that Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy is charging DeAndre Lane with first-degree felony murder and child abuse Obviously, the murderer carries life in prison without parole if convicted. That's just happening this afternoon where those charges are being filed today.
Formally charged with first-degree murder and child abuse. All along, he's claimed his two-year-old daughter was kidnapped in a carjacking back on December 2nd. Prosecutors say Lane's story just doesn't add up.
His allegations of a carjacking and child abduction were proven to be, by the facts that we have been able to gather in this case, inconsistent, totally inconsistent with the facts. During the investigation, it was revealed that Bianca Jones was subjected to child abuse on the day of her disappearance.
Even though Bianca's body has not been found, Prosecutor Worthy says she is confident there is enough evidence to convict the child's father.
So without police having located baby Bianca, they would need some strong evidence in which to confidently charge DeAndre with the murder of his daughter. So what did they have? Well, some information had come to light to police about the way in which DeAndre chose to discipline his children. Now, of course, when we talk about the topic of disciplining in children, it is a polarizing one, especially when we start discussing to smack or not to smack. This topic in general is one that draws strong opinions and emotions from many. So in my household, personally, my wife and I no longer use smacking. Now, I say no longer because, yes, we have in the past. The reason we don't, personally, is because we have simply found that it is not effective with our kids, and we have found other ways we believe to be more effective forms of, for want of a better term, punishment. Now, that's not to say that I sit here in judgment of anyone that chooses to use smacking as a tool of discipline. But again, we need to put another caveat on this and say that I also believe there is a big difference between a quick tap to say, hey, we don't do that, and abusing a child. But again, some believe that any form of smacking with kids is abuse. I can almost guarantee that listening right now, you are either between the camp of, I got a whack, let's face it, if you grew up before the 2000s, you probably did, and hey, I'm okay. Or absolutely not, hitting your kids is never okay. And again, this is now the interesting thing when it comes back to the jury pool that we will eventually have. We all have our strong opinions and emotions around these topics, and these can sway our opinions and our thoughts. However, there is multiple facets to the issue of DeAndre using smacking as a form of discipline. As it would soon be discussed, the how and the when that it was used, because it would come to light that DeAndre used smacking as a form of discipline when potty training his children. And DeAndre and I spoke about this. There's obviously also talk around about your disciplinary actions towards your kids in relation to Bianca as well when it came to potty training.
Right. My whole thing is, like, when it comes to discipline in general, I do spank, I do timeouts, I do positive, negative reinforcement, I do reward, you know what I'm saying, type thing. Like, every time my girls, because I was potty training, I actually had just finished potty training Addison, which is my daughter that's right over Bianca. I had just finished potty training her. And what I would do is we had these cookies. Like, and when she goes to the potty by herself, or when she, you know, say, lets me know she has a potty, she gets a cookie. You know what I'm saying? If she, you know, say, has an accident or uses it on herself, you know what I'm saying, depending on the situation, it would be a timeout, you know, say, corner time where I have them face the corner. Or, you know what I'm saying, they might get a spanking. But a spanking is not a beating or me being abusive, you know what I'm saying? A spanking might be a couple slaps on the butt. It just depends on the situation.
And look, there's going to be lots of people listening to this who will say disciplining a kid for having an accident is too much.
I mean, a lot of people are entitled to their opinions about it. I mean, some people don't believe in spanking at all.
I put my hand up right now and say that I have spanked my kids, and I found that it actually doesn't usually work anyway. I personally wouldn't do it in the respect of potty training or if my kid had an accident.
Right. There are different situations, even when you're potty training. Like, okay, if there's, to me, an accident is like, okay, if they're trying to get to the pot and then they have an accident, that's one thing. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But if you're, like, for instance, let's take this situation. You know what I'm saying? Your child's watching TV, and then they're just sitting there watching TV. Then they pee on themselves. It's like, you know what you had to do, but instead of doing what you were saying you're being trained to do, you were sitting there watching TV or you're sitting here playing. Like, no, you have to go here. And that's why I say it's different circumstances and situations in which the disciplinary action is taking place. And that's with anything, not just potty training, but anything in general. You know what I'm saying? There might be something done and I might just talk to them. Or like I said, time out, corner time, anything. In any different kind of situation where discipline is warranted. It's not always this or always that. It's just, it's different, you know, it's a different form.
Again, within that situation, having an accident, my kids have been there where, you know, they knew that they needed to go to the toilet, but they didn't and they just wet themselves. I got frustrated. I personally wouldn't spank a kid for that particular reason, but at the same token, there's plenty of people that would probably judge me for certain times that I have chosen that form of discipline on my children, and they would say that I'm a bad parent and that any form of spanking or smacking of kids is abuse. So, you know, it's one of those polarizing topics that everyone has a strong opinion on.
You know, and that's why I say it's like to each person their own. But, like, this is not the first situation where I potty trained somebody. You know, I potty trained my other daughter. I potty trained my older son. You know, it's like this is just the way that I've done it. And there's never been a situation where somebody has accused me of being abusive. Like I said, I've been a parent since I was 15. You never heard anybody outside the prosecution ever say they witnessed me abused. But you heard several people like, oh, yes, I've seen him spank a child. I've seen him, you know, say, discipline a child. Nobody ever used the term abuse or beating or any kind of violent toward the thing, sort of, you know, saying language, except for the prosecutor. That's it. They use that terminology. And I can understand, like, some people might not agree with it. You well within your right to disagree with that. Some other ways that people discipline their children, I don't agree with. You know, I've seen people, you know, say a child going crazy in the grocery store, and they're just trying to talk to the child, and hey, and I'm like, okay, I mean, that's not working. The child's knocking stuff all over the place, and I'm like, that's not working. That's their choice. My thing is, like, nothing I've ever done has ever rise to being abusive. Nothing I've ever done has ever rise to me harming or hurting one of my children. Never had the police called on me, never had a school call on me or anything like that, or any kind of violence against any one of my children ever even accused against me. I've lived in a house with my ex-wife. She's a teacher. You know what I'm saying? If my son was with her, and I had an older son that stayed with us and my son with her, if there was any kind of abuse going on in that situation, she would be obligated to tell and talk to the police. She could lose her teaching certification. My roommate at the time worked for Hamtramck Public Schools. She would lose her job if something like that was going on and it was found to be going on and she didn't do anything about it. And nobody has ever said that that's him, except for the prosecution. You haven't even come out, like, later on after the situation takes place when I get found guilty. You didn't hear people coming out, like, generally speaking, when somebody gets found guilty of a crime like abuse or anything like that, there's all these people ready to come out and say, oh, yeah, he abused this and he abused me. You didn't hear any of that. When it came to me, everybody's like, I don't even know where that came from. Like, that's not him. That's not him. I've got people still contacting me to this day. Like, I don't know how you're still in there. I've seen you with your children. This is just not right. That's not you. I know how you are with your children.
You have 1 minute remaining.
And that's all we have time for. But there is still plenty for us to cover in this case as we look more at DeAndre's use of discipline, as the state would argue that baby Bianca would die at the hands of her father as he loses his temper and his discipline turns to murder. Plus, they bring forward two key witnesses. One is someone very close to DeAndre, and the other is a dog.
This is what the dog did. That's their star witness, ladies and gentlemen.
And if things couldn't get any more complicated, could baby Bianca have been alive long after police say DeAndre had killed her?
So I went up there and saw the child with my own eyes, a little girl dressed up as a little boy with her eyebrows shaved. I mean, one of the distinct physical characteristics of baby Bianca was her thick, bushy eyebrows. And even with the shaved eyebrows, to me, that was a little girl.
Next time on 1 Minute Remaining. 1 Minute Remaining is a Mashed Pumpkin production, created, hosted, and produced by Jack Lawrence. Audio and sound design by Jack Lawrence and Dom Evans of ESA.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.